Welcome to Shanahan on Literacy, the site where we believe there is nothing more noble than to teach somebody to read. I'm your host, Tim Shanahan, and today, as podcast, we're going to pick up where we left off last time. This is Autism and Reading Part 2, Lessons to be Learned from Special Kids. In my previous podcast, I explored what is known about the decoding abilities of students plagued with autism spectrum disorders. Here, we're going to explore what's known about their reading comprehension abilities, both with an eye towards providing helpful guidance to teachers who work with these children and to consider what that work has to say about reading comprehension more generally and really for all boys and girls. In that earlier podcast, I quoted extensively from a letter that Emily Island, an expert on autism, had written to me. She, based on her extensive personal experience, described various special reading comprehension problems that kids with ASD may face. These problems are common to many kids with ASD, but not so prevalent with everyone else. Nevertheless, if there are certain skills or types of information with which these students struggle, other kids may evidence those problems too, just not as severely or consistently. One common finding is that kids on the autism spectrum usually comprehend less well than they decode, and this is true whether or not they have decoding difficulties. Admittedly, there are also kids on the spectrum who appear to comprehend quite well, though having read much of the recent literature, I doubt that typical comprehension tests are sufficiently sensitive to identify these kids' problems. In other words, I think there are probably kids that the studies are saying are comprehending well, but that they're actually missing some gaps. Most of the reading research on kids with ASD has been of the single subject variety. In these studies, researchers intervene, usually with one, two, three students, to see if an instructional approach works. Typically, these studies have been of short duration and with measures of, dubious reliability. Such studies are better used to guide future research than future instruction. It's also worth noting that there are several studies that treat ASD like any other reading disability, simply increasing the dosage or intensity of what appears to work reasonably well with everyone else, perhaps, as Emily wrote to me, with a few tweaks. Such studies evaluate whether shared reading, story mapping, direct instruction, intensive review, increased scaffolding, graphic organizers, and such can work with ASD if delivered under positive circumstances, such as one-on-one teaching or with increased dosage, just adding more of it to what the kids are getting in the regular classroom. Generally, these studies report positive outcomes. What their success would be like in regular classroom settings is anyone's guess. In any event, there appear to be learning payoffs from intensified or improved delivery of typical comprehension instruction. And by typical here, I mean using techniques that have been found to improve the reading comprehension generally. However, as Emily wrote to me, ASD poses some special problems that might require more than improved business-as-usual routines. Most prominent among these possibilities is the need for a pedagogical approach that addresses the difficulty these students often have with social interactions. Autism is often characterized in terms of social communications difficulties. Reading comprehension depends not just on reading skills and language abilities per se, but also upon knowledge relevant to the content of the texts. Prior knowledge, the knowledge that any of us bring to a text, is essential for comprehending. Of course, not all texts depend upon an understanding of social communication. Science texts, for instance, usually require little interpretation of nonverbal communication. Human intentions and motivation, or non-literal language like sarcasm, idiomatic expressions, or even figurative language. On the other hand, the comprehension of literature depends heavily upon such information and insight, as do history texts and many articles on current affairs. Emily, in her letter to me, points out the difficulty kids with ASD have in predicting what will happen in stories. Such predictions are often contingent on what actions the characters are likely to take. That means the reader must recognize what it is that is motivating the characters, what they want, how badly they want it. But that's the kind of information that children on the spectrum are not likely to have. Is there any evidence that kids with ASD struggle particularly with those aspects of reading comprehension? Well, yes. In fact, there is. Research shows that individuals with ASD have problems understanding the mental states of others. This is what's meant by theory of mind. At least part of the reason for the socialization problems ASD kids face is their difficulties intuiting the feelings and intentions of others. This makes empathy a challenge and undermines their comprehension of social situations and relations. A very cool study from the Czech Republic tested students' general reading comprehension along with what the researchers called the strange stories test. These stories were designed to reveal an understanding of the social moves people make. Social moves that are difficult to interpret for people on the autism spectrum, including lies, misunderstandings, sarcasm, attempts to persuade, jokes, and pretending. For example, here's a sarcasm story from that study and its questions. Sarah and Tom are going on a picnic. It is Tom's idea. He says it's going to be a lovely sunny day for a picnic. But just as they're unpacking the food, it starts to rain, and soon they're both soaked to the skin. Sarah is cross. She says, "Oh yes, a lovely day for a picnic, all right." Is it true what Sarah says? Why does she say this? Autism affected these students' answers to those kinds of questions. They often failed to recognize the literal inaccuracies. What Sarah said was false. It was not a lovely day for a picnic. These kids on the spectrum struggled with these texts more than did their normally developing peers. Their performance on these texts had a strong correlation with their general reading comprehension as well. Typical reading tests aren't aimed at identifying social insensitivity. They may include questions that probe the psychology of characters, including motivations or emotional responses to events, but that usually isn't the point of such questions. I know that because these queries are likely to be labeled as literal recall, inferencing, main ideas, supporting details, drawing conclusions, cause and effect. Monikers that totally miss the point of the reasons for these students' errors. Those tests offer no direction when it comes to the kinds of instruction that might improve students' ability to handle such questions. Having kids practicing with drawing conclusions questions won't cut the mustard. Sad to say, though, the research has identified this gap. It hasn't provided any solutions. Obviously, we can continue to include these kids in shared, guided, or directed reading situations, hoping that over time they'd gain some purchase on these concepts. That seems ineffectual to me. How might this problem be addressed? My answer is through explicit teaching. I think it would be better to explain to readers that people have emotional responses to events, that some things may make us happy or sad or angry. Then I'd expose them to a series of stories in which the events elicit such reactions among the characters. At first, I'd model, telling the students how I thought a character reacted and why. Then I'd guide students to try to infer emotional reactions in other stories, perhaps with some kind of multiple choice scheme. Then we'd explore what might make someone jealous or hurt their feelings and so on. In other words, building up that understanding cognitively that these kids don't get automatically. Again, linking the events and the stories that the kids are reading to this new knowledge about emotional responses and such. I can imagine some pretty cool graphic organizers identifying character motivations or their emotional reactions. Another challenge to kids with ASD that Ms. Island alerted me to is the difficulty that many children with ASD have in connecting the ideas in a text. The research supports that insight, too. Many of these kids can understand and remember specific facts from a text, but making connections among those ideas, coming up with a main idea or cogent summary, may be well nigh impossible for them. Again, students on the spectrum can get so intensively focused on the specifics that they miss the overall point, like comprehending individual sentences while missing the cohesive links and author's intentions that allow a paragraph or an article to become a paragraph or an article. As with the difficulties in interpreting social cues, the research does a good job of identifying the problem, but experimental instruction targeted specifically and what it is that is hard for these kids just doesn't exist. Here, however, there have been some small positive steps suggesting that teaching kids how to use cohesive links may be helpful. That makes sense to me, as would efforts to guide these students to build up an understanding of a text, reading a sentence and talking about it, then reading a second and focusing on its connections with the first, and so on. In other words, really scaffolding those connections for these boys and girls. Why does all this matter? Well, first, many kids these days are being identified as having ASD. Some estimates suggest the likelihood that there's one such child in every classroom. That commonality means that all reading teachers should know something about it. Second, I subscribe to the premise that these kinds of comprehension difficulties are likely apparent in other kids too. The frequency and consistency of the problems may differ, but they show up well beyond the spectrum. If we can figure out how best to address these challenges with ASD kids, then we'll have some proven ways to help everyone else a bit. Third, because of the qualitative nature of these problems, kids having difficulty with certain kinds of information, it should be apparent that just asking certain kinds of questions will not help many to surmount such difficulties. These problems make the need for explicit comprehension instruction, not just practice, noticeable. And finally, fourth, this research points out why our reading comprehension questioning schemes fail to tell us anything more than who comprehends well. The kinds of questions that we ask supposedly provide rehearsal with certain kinds of cognitive actions. The kids get to practice making inferences, or they get to practice drawing conclusions, which we know doesn't work. Rather than identifying the types of information students struggle with, or pinpointing why students may fail to understand a text, I think our instruction and our testing need to change a bit to focus much more on trying to uncover misunderstandings with text and trying to address those specific misunderstandings. And that's the last word I'll have to say for a while on autism and reading comprehension. If you are interested in getting a written copy of this, complete with the 22 research references that are included here, go to the Shanahan on Literacy website. On May 24th, Autism and Reading Part 2, Lessons to be Learned from Special Kids will drop on that site and it'll be available to you. With that, I want to thank Greg Johnson, our sound engineer extraordinaire, and thank you for tuning in again. I look forward to seeing you up the road a piece.